Welcome to a brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast, where three friends fight back against the snap. As always, I'm one of your hosts, the captain, myself, Zach. Join with me is the sparkly one,
Zach,
and the tree. Or are you the raccoon? The raccoon survived, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But why not Iron Man?
Because he wasn't in the trailer.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he was.
I wasn't paying
attention.
When
they were all walking in their suits, he was there.
I didn't even see him. I thought it was going to be like a big reveal that he just like comes crashing down after the space coma.
I mean, everyone's theory was that he's like the last, him recording the message is the final scene.
Why would that be the final scene though?
I don't know. It's a sad message of him reflecting on everything but that's like, happened.
Maybe the playback of the message is going to be the final scene because he's dead. Because his contract's up, as much as I will cry. So much crying. I don't want to watch Tony Stark die.
Should I just move the
Maybe
first?
Maybe he just retires.
Should I already move the
Maybe
first
he
point?
Goes, lives on a nice farm.
Pray tell.
Just sending him
when
to a farm.
Has Tony Stark ever just gone and lived on a nice farm?
Avengers Age of Ultron.
He didn't go live on the farm.
He was on the farm and he slept
I don't think
there maybe
I don't think
once.
He's like programmed to know how to chill.
It's like me.
Yeah.
You know the last time Tony Stark really chilled? When he got put in a coma. Even then, he became an AI.
Well, he went to that nice little vacation during Spider-Man Homecoming.
For like a day.
Yeah, and Tony Stark goes and chills.
That's probably
for
more
a
than
day.
Yeah. That's probably more than he normally does. So.
Yeah. So for those of that know, no Avengers Endgame trailer 2 has come out.
I see you're already fucking up my doc, but whatever.
I thought you said we're switching things.
I said I guess we're switching things then.
Yeah.
Right. So that's pretty much confirmation of just move on. We're moving it.
Okay. Fine.
It's fine. It gives me such joy to see Zach's little cursor in the Google Doc move
it's
around.
Fine.
Or how you still have yet to actually log into the Google Docs. Anytime you type, it's anonymous something.
Yeah. It's an anonymous noise, mostly. But
it always comes back to that.
It does. It just haunts me. So the Avengers trailer came out, and we get a good look at like how fucked the world has been just lately. And
whatever
I think,
it takes.
Yeah. And it seems like the... Well, it was only four characters said, whatever it takes. And that's
it's
Tony,
like the
Cap,
the
Natasha,
ones.
And Clint. So everyone's like, oh, those four characters specifically are going to die or sacrifice themselves in some fashion.
Also, the internet's already debunking that. Calm down, everyone. That's probably not Kate Bishop.
Well, people can have fun, though. Like, the internet doesn't
need to be there.
It
probably isn't, though.
Well, again, we know it's Clint's daughter in some fashion. And that's why he, you know, goes... joins the Yakuza for some reason as Ronin with his sick fade.
Dude, he transformed from Hawkeye to Mohawk guy.
I don't think the name stuck, though. I don't think anyone was taking it.
Hawkeye does, though.
Yeah, Hawkeye stuck really well. But like, the trailer looked fairly cool. I mean, it didn't give us anything super dramatic other than like the missing people charting up, the missing signs. It just shows the world after the snap.
It's just building hype.
And yeah. Captain Marvel's just a total badass.
And then there's the white suits. And I think the Russo brothers came out and said, it's like, yeah, everything in the trailers happened in like the first 20 minutes of the film.
I don't buy that, though.
Yeah, the whole Iron Man Nebula thing, I was like, that seems very, you know, like a jump, a huge leap forward.
But yeah, Iron Man Nebula... them in their suits, that looks like they're going to the final battle. Like, I don't think they're going, because if so, that's cramming a lot into the first 20 minutes of not only getting Tony and Nebula back, but also explaining everything about Hawkeye, getting everyone back together, getting everyone in their new suits, and then there's still more movie.
Yeah, and I know a lot of the promotional material, like the Funko Pops came out, and it's like, here's everyone in these white suits. Look. And then it's like they have the Hulk kind of look like Amadeus Cho a little bit. He's wearing clothing and he's like significantly less buff. So a lot of people are like, well, it was bound to happen sometime, right?
Everyone's been comparing a lot of the CGI of how it's like looking more and more like the actual actor at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, like the big two ones are Mystique and Jennifer Lawrence of like her makeup is like,
but she's gonna die in the first 20 minutes. It's true. Of film.
But even
why
like
did
somebody
you
also
make me do that.
But somebody also like brought up the point of what like comparing all the Hulk CGI. It's like it's just slowly looking more like Mark Ruffalo.
Well, that's been their goal from the beginning. Was Avengers 1? They made the Hulk look like a combination of Mark Ruffalo and Lou Ferrigno. Like that's been what they've made the Hulk look like. Maybe it's not they're just more going towards Mark Ruffalo Hulk, but it's always been
Maestro
a combination. Wynn.
Or not Maestro, but the Professor. I think that he eventually goes like when they find like a semblance of each other. Because Maestro is like long haired, white, beardy, like World War Hulk. And then like else, the though. Professor is like the in between version of the two.
I'm just thinking of the Hulk that just speaks. More is just Banner.
Dude, fucking Avengers now, like with Ali Ewing's Immortal Hulk, it's horrifying because, you know, the Hulk is now the dominant personality that does speak and like takes care of Bruce Banner, and then he meets Hawkeye again after all the shit that down in Civil War 2, and he's
how
just like
how far did he kick his ass?
Well, he just said make sure you're not alone and then just walks away. It's horrifying.
It sounds like Hulk's ready to hand him his ass, and with Hulk, that's
like Hawkeye's just standing like, there, like, "You just want to break my spine now? Can we just get it over with?" Like,
Clint's actually a Muppet at this point. There's a hand so far up him,
like it's not even a metaphor. I'm going to hand you your ass. He's literally going to rip his ass off. Here you go.
Yeah,
don't let me see you again.
It's interesting, and yeah, I think after 22 Marvel films, I think we're at a point. Where it's like, it's here. This is literal endgame. Like, what's next? Like, I really want them to be like, all right, Fantastic Four, Young Avengers, no more of these adults.
I feel like they have to start going into the legacy characters at this point.
They're going
to
keep doing some adults, though.
Yeah.
Because you got to think about it's not a matter of, well, the story could do this. It's whose contract is still going.
I would still love to see Bucky Cap at some point and just kind of make him like go back to kind of like how they did with Winter Soldier, make it like the political kind of action thriller.
I still think Winter Soldier is the best MCU film, in my opinion. Like that film was a Bond film on steroids.
I still feel like Infinity War had a bigger like payoff. Winter Soldier is a great movie in its own right.
And that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at them like individual films. Like I walked out of Captain Marvel this week and I'm like, that was a good movie.
Yeah,
wasn't
solid.
Great.
Yeah,
it wasn't like
solid
Winter Soldier.
8 out of 10.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
I wouldn't put Winter Soldier top of my list. It's more top 10 at least, but I don't know if it's the top one. Because you got Civil War, Guardians of the Galaxy 1.
I think it's just more of my expectation of what I wanted from that film more than anything else. Like, I love how the Russo brothers came off of Community and did that and, like, just blew me out of the water. And, I don't know, even Guardians, I was like, oh, cool, it's Scott Pilgrim. Got it. And let's take a look, like Scott a firm, Pilgrim. Hard look at how Scott Pilgrim as a comic book film
it's true.
Has done so much. Like, you know,
he dated Captain Marvel, fought Captain America, and
Scott
Superman.
Pilgrim is better than Thanos.
Yeah. Simple as that.
Confirmed.
And there might be more Scott Pilgrim stuff in the works.
Please, God, don't tease me.
All right.
Don't do that.
Okay, so moving forward, speaking of MCU stuff, this article comes to us from Polygon, but Disney rehires James Gunn to direct Guardians of the Galaxy 3. According to Polygon, Disney's reinstated James Gunn as the director of the film, reversing a decision to drop the filmmaker. Deadline was the first to report the news, and Polygon has since confirmed the director's return to the movie with Gunn's representatives. The article talks about how Gunn was dismissed in July of 2018 after a series of offensive and controversial tweets that resurfaced. And at the time, Al Horn called James Gunn's tweets offensive and indefensible and inconsistent by our studio's values. Gunn eventually received support from all of his other fellow cast members and actors, and they all signed a joint statement and blah, blah, blah. In intervening months, Gunn was hired to write and direct Suicide Squad 2 for Warner Bros., and Gunn's reps say Marvel will commence production of Guardians 3 after the director wraps up production of the next Suicide Squad film, which is set to hit theaters on August 6, 2021. Gunn expresses gratitude on Twitter, saying, "I deeply appreciate Disney's decision, and I am excited to continue making films that investigate the ties of love that bind us all. I have been and continue to be incredibly humbled by your love and support." It's cool.
Fascinating that Disney did this, because normally when Disney like makes a decision, that's it, they're done.
Well, that's usually with any studio. Of if they fire someone, that's it, they're never coming back.
Yeah So like you get hyper blacklisted.
It's like what discussions went on in the back room of like what case did he make to like finally,
well,
like,
I don't even like, think it was right. Him making the case. I think it was everyone else. Like Dave Bautista saying, "I'll walk off set if James Gunn's gone."
And it's like, yeah, we're going to use the script now that everything is blown over. Yeah, he's back. Because let's think, no matter what has happened in the past year almost, there has been some crazy fucking larger scandal at hand that completely blows this out of the water. Yeah, not
tweets from 10 years ago that he apologized for and even admitted to, just saying, yeah, those were dumb. Made mistakes back then.
Yeah, it's like, you know, as a kid you say something is gay when you want to say it's stupid, and then you have to have that sit down moment of like, all right, let's work through some logical paths here, child. And it makes me do wonder, like, if Disney in this vein has, like, they fired him and then they just waited till everything blew over. Like,
maybe they waited to see what the reaction would be.
Yeah, and there's larger scandals going on too now. Like, Bryan Singer just got removed from the Red Sonja film.
Yep.
He's been going through the mud pretty hard.
How is he still fucking up? Because he got removed from Bohemian Rhapsody too.
Mm-hmm.
For chucking shit at Rami Malek and cussing out other people.
Well, these are like sexual assault scandals.
Right, but I mean, like, how does he keep getting worse?
I don't know.
It's just all those things that nobody spoke up about years ago are just finally like piling up.
Really. It makes me wonder too. I know that I was reading this yesterday. I just need to find it. So one of the main reasons why like Captain Marvel took forever to come out was because of at the time Marvel CEO Ike Perlmutter, who like said, "Yo, we're not going to make Black Panther. We're not going to make Captain Marvel because a movie that doesn't star a white male isn't going to make money for us." Wonder Woman blows that out of the water immediately. Black Panther blows that even further out of the water.
Captain Marvel's on its way to 1 billion.
Yeah. 1 billion. And this is actually one of the reasons why Feige...
1 million, sorry.
Feige actually told Alan Horn at the time, it's like, "Yo, I'm going to quit after Civil War unless Marvel Studios becomes its own thing. Like, I refuse to work under Perlmutter anymore." So I wonder if Feige, you know, also standing up for James Gunn.
He definitely saw his power there.
Oh,
yeah. He's like, "I'm going to stand by my people here." Mm-hmm. Like, they're making these whole movies and this whole giant project and universe success. I'm not going to let it get ruined because of some dumb thing that happened 10 years ago that does not impact anything now.
Right. And it's going to be weird because now James Gunn is going to be like top dog at two different studios. And even after Guardians 3, it was rumored that he was actually going to take over for anything space related for Marvel films. So like he would become essentially cool. Like the Jim Starlin of
Boss of Space.
Yeah, the Boss of Space. I was going to go like Marvel Cosmic, Jim Starlin, Kirby, and all that jazz, but Boss of Space makes way better sense. So it's interesting.
Galactus win.
Again, if James Gunn comes back, we can easily go in Fantastic Four, Power Cosmic.
Yeah, I can do it.
And I feel like if they do Guardians. Or not Guardians. Fantastic Four is like a set piece, like Captain Marvel was, or even like modern day Crash out of Pocket Dimension. I mean, I'm just waiting. Avengers is going to end, and you're just going to hear, "It's clobbering. It's clobbering time." Yeah. It's going to happen.
Or no, just these not. Weirdly dressed people like wandering New York of like, "The fuck are we?
When are we?" Reed, calm down. Cuts black.
Yeah. Okay. So many things they could do.
Pulling up the thing. We got the Aladdin live action trailer as well.
And actually doesn't look half bad.
I'm pretty lukewarm to it.
I mean, I still don't think we need these live action movies, but I'm like, all right, doesn't look terrible.
It's a fun retelling for the new generation.
It's like, okay.
Yeah. See, the problem I have, I think I explained this before, but you just opened that can. You have a problem. It's sparkling water. Mine's at least freaking sugar juice.
Yeah, that's why I can down it so quickly.
It's carbonated.
I've probably destroyed my stomach at this point, so I've given up.
It's soda without the happiness.
It's soda, but the strawberries were grown next to the can.
It's soda with the taste of disappointment.
Yeah, and disappointment tastes so good.
Hold on, I got one more. It's soda, but it's the taste of like what TV fuzz would taste like.
It's soda, but someone whispered the name of cherry next to the can, or raspberry.
Yeah, cherry and pomegranate.
That's right.
I will admit, though, that those do have a little more fruit flavor.
Yeah, these ones are better than LaCroix.
I prefer bubbly. Anyways, I have a very lukewarm reaction to all of the Disney films because, yeah, like Steve said, they're fun retellings for like newer generations, but I...
Also making them a little more culturally correct, I would say.
Yeah.
Because we talked about this Lion King. Like, I'm happy that, like, it's cool that they're doing all of the, or most of the cast are going to be African-American actors instead of Simba being played by Jonathan Taylor Thomas and then Matthew Broderick.
At least we got Seth Rogen.
So, but Timon and Pumbaa and Zazu, sure, white people. And they did. But Billy Eichner is Timon. Why not just bring back Nathan Lane? Why? He's still in great shape. He still can sing. He's still fantastic. I love Nathan Lane.
So going back to my original point, the reason why I feel like about these is just because they are strictly retellings. Like, there's nothing new. Like, I watched Beauty and the Beast, finally, and I was just like, okay. And I was, like, waiting for something to be different. Like, I think Maleficent blew me so much out of the water compared to all of the other ones because Maleficent was so different compared to everything else.
And it was Jungle Book was a different story.
Yeah.
It was like a retelling, but with
a new story. Finish Jungle Book.
I can see what point you're making, though, because so far what we've seen of Aladdin is like almost beat for beat, like the exact Aladdin story that we've seen from the original.
And I'm just waiting for, like, you know, hopefully this movie does well. We skip two. We just go straight to Prince of Thieves.
We don't need to talk about two.
We don't need Jafar.
We don't need the Return of Jafar.
But, like, I don't know. I just want something. I want something different. Like, it's almost like the comparison of, like, here's your Disney stories, and then here's the Grimm fairy tales. Have fun. Like, this makes me more excited to see like what happens with a Wicked movie. Like that one's going to be crazy cool because they finally have like big budget, take Broadway script, go.
Provided they actually, you know, add to it, not just do the Broadway script.
But Wicked in itself is just so far different from Wizard of Oz.
It was a novel before, wasn't it? Okay.
But yeah, I can make the same point with that as like the Disney movies. You have to think commercially. If they weren't just mostly retellings, everyone would bitch about it and not go see it.
And that's
Maleficent was it is that balance.
Real exception because
it's a completely
there was
different
never
story.
A story
yeah.
for Maleficent. It was always she was evil, dragon, done. You never saw her side.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Yeah. Aladdin, we know the Aladdin story.
But what about sexy Jafar? Like maybe he has a really cool story. Maybe he was also gay with Dumbledore and you know, they both also had a very intense sexual relationship, as J.K. Rowling tells us on Twitter.
I love everyone's reaction. Like, bro, when are you going to write the book about wizards fucking or not?
If Dumbledore eats Grindelwald's ass in the woods and no one sees it, are they really gay?
Look, let's be real. Fantastic Beasts 2 pretty much like put it like right in front of everyone's face. Dumbledore was gay. Like the fact that he is so intense about Grindelwald, and then it shows, yeah, no, they made a fucking blood pact, a magical blood pact that they could never harm each other. Like, they were fucking blood buddies. But nothing wrong with that.
But at least just once, just like, here's the Mirror of Erised. I'm not saying like when Dumbledore views. That's not what I'm saying. Like, I'm not saying that when Dumbledore views it, they're like viciously making out on Dumbledore's desk or anything. But like, show us that yes, they were in that relationship like, more than just like
maybe a little kiss. Not saying tossing salads, but holding hands. But a exactly, small kiss.
Like Jake, I like Harry Potter still. Core 7 books. Cursed Child was a thing. First Fantastic Beasts was okay. The half of the second one was all right that I watched. But like, the more she talks about things that didn't happen in the book,
or even were alluded
or like
to,
alludes to things, it's like, yeah, the Hufflepuffs masturbate in the common room. Cool. You're writing fan fiction of your own stuff. I don't know. Like, it just complicates my feelings so much. Like,
it's different from like, say, George Lucas going and is like, I'm gonna tell all these things in my movies. Like, okay, we didn't like some of that, but at least like you said it.
And then George Lucas was like, all right, I ran out of stories to tell. Writers, have fun. And then the writers are like, and then this happened, and everyone's like, all right, cool, cool. It would be in a canonical story. Let's go.
It would almost be like if George Lucas is like, oh, yeah, Luke went and went on a drunk
he
drinking
He also
binge.
Made out with Yoda. It was crazy.
He went on a crazy drinking binge after Return of the Jedi. It's just like, what? Why? This is like just something that makes no sense or was never alluded to. It's just like, why? Why would you? What does that add?
I equate this also to, again, I love Bendis, but Bendis is complicated sometimes too. Iceman, you're gay? What? I read his mind. He's gay. And then from then on, Iceman was gay. And it's like, okay, so you're showing it in the stories. You're like helping develop this. Cinna Grace does an amazing job developing like this complicated relationship that Iceman has with himself and his younger self from the OG X-Men. But like, again, if Grindelwald and Dumbledore are butt-fucking the forest and no one's there to see it, is this canon?
Look, just because Dumbledore may have explored Grindelwald's Chamber of Secrets.
He was down there in the Forbidden Forest. But like,
he showed him the basilisk, okay?
This is also the same thing Rowling did with like, yeah, you know, Ron and Hermione probably would have gotten divorced. Okay, 14-year-old me is pissed. 25-year-old me is still pissed. Yeah, Harry and Hermione should have been with each other. But why? You didn't say any reason why. You never showed us why.
I think it's just she's just trying to stay relevant at this point.
Then write another book. Write a new series like
write
she did.
These things, then. If you want these things.
Hold on. Write another series. What is she doing with Fantastic Beasts? Writing another series. No. Hold on. Your Iceman comment. They just dropped the Iceman's gay and then developed the story. You're not giving it time to develop.
Okay, but she said in 2000 fucking 8 or 9, whenever Deathly Hallows came out, Dumbledore's gay. And then we come a decade later, and then she just tweets out they had a very intense, loving relationship. Like,
right, expanding on her story.
But she could have said it at any other point. Again, if a tree fell down in the forest, this is my comment because it's just like so fucking relevant, and it made me
feel
hysterical. Because it's like, oh, if no one saw this, if this wasn't developed anywhere else, is anyone likely to believe this?
Right.
Again, comic books have the ability to come out a month at a time. Cinna Grace was given two different Iceman comic books to develop this. Brian Michael Bendis kind of just went, here's something different. Go.
Right. She drops the Dumbledore's gay comment. Probably to show, hey, he was gay, but did that really matter in the end?
Maybe no, Harry Potter also learned he was gay.
maybe 26 maybe years. He experimented. Maybe he went over to Hufflepuff house, be like, hey, what's going on here? Oh, neat. And then went to Ginny.
I don't know. I just really have complicated feelings still. It bothers me.
We got really off track from Aladdin there.
You know, sometimes we're the prisoners of our own Azkaban. We are self-inflicting torture. We're depressed.
Sometimes we just don't have an Order of the Phoenix, okay?
Everything's deathly and hollow. But, yeah, Aladdin looked great.
Okay.
Genie looks cool. Shout out to the magic carpet. I just realized the magic carpet's Dr. Strange's cape at this point, right? Like, they're the same entity.
Just the soul of the carpet became his cape.
Like, maybe the carpet also had a drunken binge with Luke Skywalker, had a couple kids, one of them became a cape instead of a carpet. They went to a threading school.
Didn't want to conform to their carpet lifestyle. Went off, became a Sorcerer Supreme's cape.
Did the cape also get snapped? Like, the cape was also sentient.
Didn't Doctor Strange didn't get...
He got dusted.
He got dusted. He got snapped.
So I'm pretty sure the cape went with him.
Also, quick return back to Avengers. Shout out to Disney for realizing their mistake and correcting it immediately. They didn't have Okoye's actress listed in the credits on the top of the poster, even though she was on the poster. And within a couple hours, people being like, hey, her name's not up here. Released a new poster with her name on it. She should have been here the whole time. But
it's like Blaine and Genlock.
Except he got reversed of, yeah, Blaine Gibson, episode 2.
And he's gone.
Nothing.
Not in the credits. Rip. You should all go watch Genlock. It's on Crunchyroll and Verve right now.
First episode's on YouTube.
Yeah, it's a great show. It's robots. That's all you need.
Okay.
All right. God. Just spaced. Speaking of cool things, though, Ezra Miller is writing his own Flash script with Grant Morrison.
Final do-it-myself approach.
You know, you're not wrong. So according to Hollywood Reporter, Ezra Miller, in a perpetuated bid to keep himself on his role as The Flash, has taken it upon himself to write his own script for the in-production Flash film. Apparently, Miller has had conflicts with John Francis Daley and Jonathan Goldstein, the directors currently attached to the project and known for Spider-Man Homecoming. While the directorial duo were interested in a lighter, more playful take on The Flash, Miller wanted something darker. So Miller is creating his own version of what he wants to see, and he's doing it with an unlikely ally, acclaimed comic book writer Grant Morrison.
So are we going to get Angry Barry again?
Probably.
Him going to not tell a secret, and then it's going to blow up in his face.
Grant Morrison wrote a lot of Wally, I think. Him and Mark Waid did a lot of Wally stuff.
Which this Barry is kind of like a combination of, more towards Wally, but you kind of like Barry
every
Wally.
Every iteration of Barry that's been around is literally just Wally.
Because look at Flash Origins. Would you want that Barry to be on the big screen?
Maybe.
But look at Wally.
Wally's too cool.
Wally is more exciting.
So why wouldn't you want to make a Bally?
Grant Morrison and Ezra Miller have been hired by Warner Bros. To produce Miller's take, which has higher stakes than just the vibe of the upcoming film. According to THR Insiders, the success or failure of the script could indicate whether or not Miller stays on in the role of the starring speedster. Supposedly, Miller's holding deal for the film expires in May, and if they can't reach a direction for the film by then, it may change pretty drastically. If Miller leaves, he'll be the second DC hero to depart the property over script problems, rest in peace, Batfleck. Writing a superhero movie that makes everyone involved happy is apparently really hard. And man, oh man, I really do think that this Flash film, like, even if this doesn't pan out, I really hope he just releases the script out onto Twitter or something, because I just want to see what madness Grant Morrison and Ezra Miller do together.
Mm-hmm. Like, Grant Morrison writing, like, the entity that is the Speed Force.
Now imagine, going to do my favorite quote from Yannick Paquette when he was working with Grant Morrison on Wonder Woman Earth 1. Now imagine you've just stumbled upon a jungle and there are a group of college women dancing, experimenting, it's as if you discovered an unknown part of yourself, an unknown part of the world, and you're just viewing upon it for the first time. What does that mean? What does that mean?
What do I draw?
I just want everything to be go-go bonkers with this film. Just like him slipping through dimensions, maybe. Just full of Rick and Morty.
I mean, if just we have anything... if we have Doom Patrol to go off of Grant Morrison...
Dude, fucking... I just got to the part... I was telling Steve, I'm like, I just got to the part in the comic of where Doom Patrol is taking its story, and it's just one for one. Perfect. And I'm like, this is amazing. And I really hope we get the Brotherhood of Evil, like Monsieur Mala, The Brain, just all of that nonsense. You would never World believe Run. What the next episode of Doom Patrol is called. I can't wait to tell it's you.
They already did Cult Patrol, right?
Yep. You're not going to guess it. Just
Party Patrol?
Nope. No, we'll get there. Don't worry. So yeah, Ezra Miller's writing his own scrap film. Splash film.
It might get scrapped.
It might get scrapped. You're right. Because let's look at everything else going on in the DC.
I feel like DC's like movies are slowly like, all right, let's get these ones out. And then we'll
want to Shazam?
We'll think about it.
Hey,
later.
Aquaman did real well. Here's The Trench. But why? Aquaman 2 also.
Okay.
Did we mention Shazam?
I can't wait for Shazam. It's going to be so great.
Bailey Bats.
It's going to be so cool. And I can't believe the wizard Shazam is also in Captain Marvel. He's one of the Skrulls.
Huh.
It's pretty neat. Anywho's a what's it's. Rotten Tomatoes thing. Rotten Tomatoes considering verified purchase following review bombs.
Kind of surprised it took them this long. This is not the first review bomb they've had.
Right. So, what is it? That they actually have to like show proof that they saw this
so
film?
Anyone who has to review, or anyone who wants to review on Rotten Tomatoes, they have to have a verified purchase that they've seen, you know, they've seen the movie, or at least they bought a ticket to it. So, people who want to troll Captain Marvel or any other movie can't just go and bomb it like people do on Steam all the time, too.
But people still have Yahoo.
True. Yes, the dark pits of the internet. And now you keep saying, what about 4chan? Have you seen Yahoo comments?
I mean, I've seen them, but 8chan has, like, actual child porn, so...
And people on 4... One dude on 4chan says, like, oh, man, all these alt-right... menaces are giving us other alt-right people a bad name. I'm gonna go kill myself now. And it's just like, what? Oh, okay.
Let's just put it this way. They created 8chan because they believe 4chan was becoming too moderated. I wonder why.
I hate the internet.
I'm always reminded that those people still exist.
I remember seeing like 2 days before Captain Marvel even released, someone was complaining in the comments of like, yeah, Rotten Tomatoes just deleted like 1,000 plus reviews that were under 50%. Like, yeah, because no one's seen it yet. Anyone who claims they did probably isn't in that 1,000.
Can you imagine? It's like, all right, show proof that you watched this movie and someone like downloaded it from like a modern Pirate Bay. And it's like, here's my download link. It's just like, I see you. Not going to do anything about this. You're using Kazaa still? What?
Yeah. Still around? LimeWire?
How are you still using Napster? I thought they changed Napster.
But it's on Spotify?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is... Yeah, they definitely need this measure. Like, I personally think Steam needs this measure, too, because...
I think Xbox actually changed that you can't review a game until you buy it now. Or at least it shows up in your history of games.
Well, yeah, it'll show, like... I think it shows like how many hours you played like on Steam.
What? This guy's reviewing Siege. It's 5 stars. He has 4 days in it. It's taken over my life. Highly recommend.
Help. Please God help.
But I mean, yeah, like this
out of five recommend.
This literally happens on Steam. Right. Like almost like, oh, what developer did something to the game that people didn't like? Bomb it. Like also like, why is that your fucking mentality? But like, so also, I feel like they do like they also need that verified purchase thing in there too.
So like Steam reviews, I always look for multiple hours played, not just like half an hour played. Zero out of five. You could,
I mean, I rarely read Steam review. I like actually go and watch video reviews of people who've actually played it.
I watch Kotaku.
I remember one. There was like a game that like someone played. It was like 500 hours played, and they gave it like a 1 out of 5. And I'm like, how?
I hated it. I hated all 500 hours of this.
But God,
I just kept waiting till it got better. But Gandhi kept nuking me.
Goddamn Gandhi.
Yeah. Make it happen, Rotten Tomatoes. Fix, clean some stuff up. I know it's not going to solve all your problems, but
it'll help.
It'll help, yeah.
But at the same time, there's also the Rian Johnson approach to it of, this is like a badge of honor now. Your movie gets review bombed before it even releases.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's more press.
But like, yeah, and even then, it's like, you're going to come across... Yeah, you get the press of it, but then there's going to be that one uninformed person who's just like, oh, yeah, that movie looks terrible. I'm not going to watch it.
Only got one star?
Ooh. What? This movie's about a woman fucking a fish? No, I'm not going to watch that.
Believe it or not, I saw comments like that in Yahoo of someone said, like, yeah, this movie sucked. It was terrible. It was all about social justice warriors. And someone commented that, well, if it's all about social, I'm not going to go see this movie. Like, if that's the case, like, make your own opinion.
Have you seen, I know Zach started listening to it, but do you listen to How Did This Get Made?
Not yet.
So they do a segment during each episode of like, all right, now that we know this movie is completely bananas and bonkers and insane, let's look what Amazon reviews have to say.
Five-star reviews.
Five-star reviews specifically. It's like, man, it's... they were doing Skyscraper. It's like, man, this is so much better than Die Hard. A, you're wrong. And then someone else comments like, man, I'm so glad that they released this film. It has no politics or political agendas or no commentary on our modern president. This movie would have been better if it took place in America, though.
Yeah.
What? Just like, because it takes place in China.
It's like, wait, does that... Like, what does that
impede? That,
I love that, like, in that one, they tried to, like, decipher. It's like, what does this guy mean? Does he, like, want the movie to represent, like, an American... tragedy or something here?
It's not
here?
Political. It doesn't show any agendas. But America. That would make it political. Like, the fact that you want it to be in America means you have a political stance on it.
I just love listening.
I'm amazed by people. I'm just like, oh, God, the world is doomed.
And by the way, Skyscraper was good. It's a good discount Die Hard.
But it's discount
Die Hard. It's discount Die Hard, but it's a fun popcorn movie.
I think it's like, you know, if we look at all of the other Die Hard movies... I would put that below all of the Die Hard movies.
Have you seen Die Hard 2? Die Hard 2 is a dumpster fire.
I mean, that's better than the one with
Justin Long?
No,
Justin Long is actually pretty good.
Was that one good?
No, that one was solid.
I don't remember.
Live Free or Die Hard?
What was the last one, the one with his son that wasn't great?
No, that was the Justin Long one.
No. The last one was with his son. The one before was about his daughter.
Good Day to Die Hard.
Yes.
Yeah.
That one wasn't bad.
It's not great.
Better than 2.
It's fair.
2 sucked.
Yeah, they tried to like just do the first one again, and it just didn't work.
And then they got 3, brought in Samuel Jackson. Like, all right, now we're back.
We got it.
Samuel L. Jackson, like the key to fixing movies.
And they even introduced a great riddle involving water jugs.
Do you see they're doing another, like a black exploitation movie with Samuel Jackson?
No.
Crap, what's it called? I've been seeing trailers for it. It's like the parody of black exploitation. It's like Black Dynamite.
Okay.
Fuck, I love Black Dynamite.
I can't remember the name of it. But it's like the whole thing of like he's like some retired like action guy, like spy or something, and then shenanigans happens.
You're not talking about Shaft, are you?
No, I am. Maybe?
Shaft is amazing. Isaac Hayes was the OG Shaft, and then Samuel Jackson. Shaft!
It was like recent.
He's a bad mother. Shut your mouth.
Maybe? Samuel L.
Where his son shows up and Shaft Jr.
Maybe it is Shaft. Maybe they're just... Are they redoing it?
Oh, it's a sequel.
So if Samuel L. Jackson also looks in the mirror of Arisid, does he just see himself not eating ass? The second trailer for that new James Gunn movie came out too.
Yeah, I don't know.
It looks amazing. The one with like not Superman in it.
Oh, I wasn't saying the movie was bad, Steve. I was just representing. It's like
right, but I don't. Right, I don't think it. Shaft wasn't either a black exploitation or a parody of black exploitation. It was always just its own thing.
Really,
it was Shaft.
Okay.
Because he's a bad mother. Shut your mouth.
Anyway.
Hell yeah.
Shaft. Brightburn. Yes. That's the movie I'm thinking. Can't wait. Anyways.
Okay.
I
threw this on there. I don't know if you had one.
Oh, yeah. Doom Patrol. Two Truths and a Lie. Okay. So the last two episodes were a continuation of each other. So there's Cult Patrol.
Okay.
And then Paw Patrol.
Oh, right. Paw Patrol.
So, I cannot stress this enough to anyone. Go get DC Universe. The season's halfway done. Do the 1 month trial. Just watch the first six episodes. Because it's fucking amazing. Like,
we're only on episode four.
Yeah, episode five.
Are we on five?
Yeah. Well, five comes out this week.
Right, yeah, we're going into five.
Cult Patrol. Paw Patrol, Puppet Patrol,
and then the start.
No, there's one in between. Yeah, Cyborg.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah.
So yeah. Anyways, please do yourself a favor. Like Alan Tudyk makes an incredible villain. There's no wall in the series because he just
Alan exists. Tudyk is the wall.
He's like, is this how the Doom Patrol? Or he says, is this how your band of miscreants die? I haven't even been in the last two episodes. And it's just like, he's such a great villain. It's now, so amazing.
Let me make a quick PSA. Don't take any drugs before you watch this. It is a drug. You will think you're tripping when you watch this show.
Or take your drugs and you can be like Grant Morrison.
No, you will have an existential crisis if you take drugs and watch this.
You'll become like Ezekiel.
He's amazing. Ezekiel came back in this last episode as people are
getting, I could hear Steve screaming about it. And I'm like, do I hear a cockroach? I think I hear a Satanist cockroach.
He's the best character.
Yeah. So this last two episode is actually, you know, it's an adaptation of Grant Morrison stuff. And it's about the Doomsday Book. And just, it's so good. Because, like, just everything that happens, like, all of Jane's new personalities, Cliff just being himself, it's just such a good show, and like it more and more as the show goes on. Like episode one, everyone's kind of like a lifeless husk that just like accepts things as they come, but they're slowly growing more and more human
over
and becoming
40 years
discount Justice League at this point. Like, I'm not saying like, you know, 20% off Justice League. No, this is like clearance bin.
This is like $77 at least.
Three day old bread Justice League.
Like, you're not going to find this at, like, Target or any of that. This is going to be, like, dollar store Justice League. Like, have you seen at the flea market, the Justice Friends?
Yeah.
Where it's, like...
Spider-Man's there.
Spider-Man, Batman, Optimus Prime, Leonardo from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That Justice League.
That crossover almost exists. Remember that.
Two of it exists.
But, like, oh my goodness. The show's just so good. And, like, it's just so...
Oh, yeah, and a Power Ranger was in that box, too. Should I remember, like, what's the fifth one? Power Ranger, that's right.
Like, this last episode, too, was incredible just because it really kind of gleams into the human side of a lot of the different characters. We have, what's his shit name from Supernatural?
Oh, Mark Shepard.
Yeah, Mark Shepard's in the show. He's Discount Constantine.
Crowley.
Like, legitimately, Grant Morrison was not able to use Crowley, or not Crowley, Constantine. So he made this new character that acts just like Constantine. He smokes, he drinks, everything. And he's there to help, like, end the apocalypse using a talking penny that turns into a ghost horse. What? And
no, it's thread. Not just a ghost horse, it's Baphomet.
With a nail in its head.
You know, the satanic goat demon.
I told Kayla, Baphomet. I want to name a dog Baphomet.
Balthazar and Baphomet.
She said I can't do both. You have to pick She's one. Coming around to Balthazar, the cat.
But now is it going to slowly go towards Baphomet?
Well, no, one's going to be Gandalf the dog, and then the other one's going to be Balthazar.
Please, God, let that dog be gray and slowly over time turn white.
I was thinking of getting a husky. We're still in the point of, like, the dog is sleeping in the bed, and she says no, and I told her, I spent $1,000 on my bed. The dog is sleeping in my goddamn bed.
If that's the case, you want a small dog, trust me.
No, I want to cuddle with the dog.
Because I've had a giant dog that likes to get in the bed. They will take the bed.
Yeah, it'll be a wondrous.
They will not be cuddles, it'll be you smushed up against the wall.
All right, so two truths and a lie. I actually had to write down a bunch of these just because I kept writing the truth of what happened in the episode.
Let me read the exact text I got from Zach when he sent me the list. Every time I write something down meant to be a lie, I realize it actually happened. And I made that comment last or two episodes ago with Animal Vegetable Mineral Man. I'm like, you could fucking tell me anything, and I believe it happened.
So, two truths and one lie.
Okay.
A dog turned into a laser beam that gave birth to an anti-apocalyptic god. That's one. Two, a cult of senior citizens dance in the streets to signal the birth of a new god to ring my bell.
Okay.
Three, one of Jane's personalities revealed in this episode was a Southern Baptist preacher who organized a cult. So I'll repeat these again while you think. One, a dog turned into a laser beam that gave birth to an anti-apocalyptic god. Two, a cult of senior citizens danced in the streets to signal the birth of a new god to ring my bell. Three, one of Jane's personalities revealed in this episode was a Southern Baptist preacher who organized a cult.
I'm going to say the dog, because the way you phrased that didn't make any sense.
It happened.
What the fuck?
So, the lie was Jane having a Southern Baptist preacher.
That was just my
that one's hard because it's like she has 64 different personalities, right? That one's so possible.
We met Dr. Harrison, who's a psychiatrist who has the ability to influence people. So when Alan Tudyk and the chief have to go back in time to the 70s to create a new cult to combat the apocalyptic cult,
oh my god,
they created a new god called the Recreator to combat the Decreator.
Jesus fucking Christ.
The Southern Baptist one was my hope. Of like, yeah, we just need someone so influential and so powerful that could create a cult. And I'm like, please, God, just have Jane. All of a sudden, like, Lord!
So the cult of the Decreator, their doomsday book was a boy. And he had the doomsday text tattooed on his body. And when he was to turn of age, 18, he would eventually be red, and then that would give birth to the apocalyptic god who would blink and everyone would snap out of existence.
Thanos.
Discount Thanos.
No, I'd say enhanced Thanos, because
if he was a giant eye in the sky.
And he didn't have I'm going to wipe out half. It's everything, including vehicles and inanimate objects.
A bus, the stereo system playing Ring My Bell. So Dr. Harrison, Jane, is in an insane asylum after moshing with the white supremacists. Again, everything I wrote sounds like it's plausible. So, you know, she becomes this preacher for the cult of the Recreator, and she has to create a new god with her power of influence. And then the other people in the institution were like, well, why does it have to be a boy? Yeah, why does it have to be anything? It should be a
dog. Like, what about a dog? Like, well, and why does the texts have to be out there? Why wouldn't it be hidden? Like,
so she's like, she comes up to Marilyn, and Marilyn's,
because she was the one who thought, like, well, what if there's like a signal to bring the text out? And
she tells her, "You will be my bell." And then that starts the montage of all of those same people from the psych ward.
Yeah, because everyone was like, "Well, what are we gonna do if she's your only chosen one?" I was like, "You will dance. You will dance to welcome the new god," and then just a bunch of old people coming down the street with the stairs instead of playing Ring My Bell.
And Marilyn comes into Nirnheim, which is an entire dimension inside of a snow globe.
inside of
it's not the Doom Patrol mansion. And she says, getting so close to Danny the Street.
Yeah. And I thought Danny was going to be this episode, to be perfectly honest. But she comes out and she has to fight the apocalyptic clown god.
Oh, God.
Or it's clown terrifying. Preacher thing. And
so Pennywise. It's,
ring my bell, and she takes her oxygen tank and shoots it, causing an explosion.
Throws it at him, pulls out a magnum, and shoots the oxygen tank.
Meanwhile, Cliff and Jane are at a bell, and they're ringing it, and as soon as they ring it, a dog activates and shoots a laser beam into the sky.
He reads the text, points the dog's face to the sky, laser shoots out, new god is created.
And I was just sitting there like, that's some Greg Miller level shit.
it was so beautiful.
You really needed, like, I'll give you my login, but you need to catch up. Because the show is just insanity. And so every episode of Doom Patrol so far has had a reoccurring theme. Every episode ends with the word patrol. So Paw Patrol, Cult Patrol, Puppet Patrol. Guess what the next episode's called?
Cupcake Patrol.
You're wrong, because it's called Doom Patrol Patrol.
God fucking
because
damn
they had to find the Doom Patrol.
The original team of Doom Patrol.
Oh my god.
Which features Mento. Yeah, because at the end of the Alan Tudyk's character, Mr. Nobody, is like, Jane, you have to find something for me. And then it cuts back to the future and she's like, what the fuck is the Doom Patrol? Cuts black. It was amazing. I love this show. I've never, other than like my K-On and New Game, I've never been so happy watching a TV show. Because this isn't wholesome in the slightest. It's like, what bad other shit. Show are you going to have someone tear a Nazi in half and then hit another Nazi with the lower
and
half?
And then 2 episodes later, have a dog create a new god from its mouth. From a laser beam.
Some batshit level stuff there.
Yeah. And you know what? We can say anything, and you think it's going to happen.
It's all plausible.
I had that realization with Animal Vegetable Mineral Man of, I'm not even going to fucking guess what's
like,
coming next.
I've given my so far, I'm one. We'll keep track of, I'm 1-for-1 right now.
Yes.
And my tactic is not to listen to what you're telling me, but the way you're actually phrasing it. Because I'm like, any of this could be possible.
So I was kind of hoping when I sent Steve my list, he was going to like message me with a better lie. So, like, it's just so hard to like lie about something that's going to happen or something that happened in the episode.
It might happen next episode. You never know.
We could. Jane could have a Southern Baptist preacher in her somewhere.
We did learn the original Jane, though. Jane is not the core personality.
Kay is.
Yeah. Anyways. Speaking of core personalities, Halo Master Chief Collection is coming to PC and Steam. And with that, Halo Reach is being added to the Master Chief Collection. Fuck yeah.
I think it's... I mean, one, it's about time. I think everyone's question is like, wait, it wasn't on PC already? But also the second part is, wow, they're putting it on Steam. That's kind of surprising. Like, usually you'd think they're just going to...
Do their Windows
service.
Yeah,
just keep it on the Windows Store or something.
Oh, God. Do you think there's going to be, like, all the achievements? Like, it's the Windows 10 version?
No. Not again.
Well, no, because I play Halo Wars 2 on the Windows Store, and that's cross-play.
Right, but that was already set up as a play anywhere. This is a separate entity.
Yeah.
Shit, it might be like Minecraft. There's two separate sets of achievements.
Can I just, like, log in and type in my... Windows login, and it'll be like, beep, achievements. Like,
so I can't wait for all the mods that get added to this now.
No, dude, I just can't, like...
Well, yeah, it's going to be Thomas making, the Tank Engine everywhere.
Yep.
They're making Halo so relevant still. Like, hey, we haven't put a game out in a while, so here's all the other games.
Like, we're gonna talk about Infinite at E3, but in the meantime, here's a taste.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a smart move because it's really showing, like, Microsoft is really, specifically Xbox, is making the play of, like, yeah, we're just going to create this giant live service where you can literally play any of our games anywhere, and this is also part of
it. Because Game Pass is coming to Android and iOS.
Yeah. Which is just like a one-up middle finger to Sony. We're like, remote our newest update, you can play on iOS's.
Hey. Except it's remote play. It's not the cloud service.
So you need to be on the same network connection. So you can't play outside of the house.
Microsoft is just rising from the water.
I just thought of something of, we're going to be at like Comic-Con. Vex's going to be in the corner. What are you doing? Playing Siege.
I don't know if we'll be there yet by that point, but
I'm going to have like the NVIDIA shield.
or if
no, it'll just be a controller attached to your phone.
Yeah, they're going to release an accessory where you can attach it to a controller and then put your phone.
Well, have you seen that with the latest I think it was like the latest Switch update. Someone dug in and saw like there's Xbox compatibility controller on it.
That's not too surprising. I mean, you can already connect it to Bluetooth controllers. So,
If they're already in the talks of doing Game Pass on Switch, would be amazing.
Did you also see the giant like middle finger to PlayStation with a? It's like, oh yeah, we'd love to put Game Pass and Xbox Live anywhere if PlayStation's willing.
Yeah, and they're already sitting there. It's like, yeah, Nintendo's working really well with us, and we're working really well with them.
Yeah, it's. I don't see PlayStation yielding, but I mean, it is. It is interesting, like discussion they're like trying to fuel.
If we have Snake in Super Smash Brothers, are we that far away from having Master Chief in Super Smash Brothers?
The rumor has been Doom Guy for a while, but it's like maybe Master Chief is more likely.
The Doom Slayer.
The Doom Guy.
I think it's really cool just because we're almost to the point where the console war is ending. So where we're all sitting in harmony. It's the world that Avatar always dreamed of.
I was gonna say, we've got the Earth, Air, and Water nations together, and meanwhile, the Sony Fire nations over there are like,
no.
Fuck you!
We don't wanna.
But then there's like a small section of the Fire Nation, Fortnite-topia. That's like, well, maybe.
No, those are the Swamp Benders. We don't talk about them.
But Swamp would be water and earth.
I know. They're just over there.
Right, we're talking the Fire Nation joining part of the...
But like the Fortnite people already exist in our world. So they are like the far reaches of the corner of the kingdom.
Okay, maybe more like... The Koreas combined back into one Korea, and that's...
No,
like,
we saw what happens with that.
The South Fortnite and the North Fortnite combined.
Oh, so you're talking about the North Fortnite and the South Apex.
No, because Apex still isn't. Apex is kind of its own, like, middle
nation. Yeah, Apex is never going to overtake Fortnite. It's going to just suck people away from it.
But they're still in, like, one nation. They haven't quite gone over into the other nations.
Yeah, when I have students in my classroom, what are you playing? Fortnite. Why?
Still?
It's on mobile. Aren't there any other games on your phone you could play? No. Do you recommend anything? Stardew Valley. What was that?
It's on Android now.
It's farming. Is that what you play? And then I just violently flash back to every game of Siege. No. But, I was talking about Siege with my students at the middle school dance. It was pretty great. We were discussing tactics and why I only play Legion. Have you played any of the new characters? No, my roommates play the new characters. How come you don't play any of the new characters? I play Legion. What? Yeah, that's it.
Maybe sometimes you could play Legion a little closer to the objective.
Legion's a roamer, though.
Right, but we have four roamers on the team, and I'm the only one sitting on the objective, and suddenly, oh, there's three people here. I'm by myself. Fuck me.
It wasn't as bad as yesterday when Zach and I were playing, when Castle left the objective.
Like, why are you gone?
Like, Castle.
Like, even when I play roamers like Alibi, I still stay close to the objective because you two and sometimes Brandon also play roamers and you're halfway across that. But I'm like, all right, I got my alibis down. I'm ready to. Oh, they're all the way over there.
This is why I like bomb. I never. If the bomb gets planted, I still have time to come back for it.
Oh, we had such a beautiful bomb plant last night. 6-2.
But yeah, but going back to Halo, I feel like this is kind of like we're slowly approaching like what the future of gaming services are going to be. You can play anywhere. Like it's going to be a rough start. Like when all this starts to launch, I'm sure.
Yeah, but it's kind of like. Did you guys see that? Like Google's diving into gaming a little bit. Like, yeah, they're supposed to have Chrome streaming games.
They're having a talk tomorrow, actually, at GDC about what their plans are. Well, yesterday, whenever you listen to this.
Introducing the Chrome box. The Chrome 360.
I mean, it's going to be some sort of streaming thing.
The Chrome Tube.
The Play Chrome box.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, yeah, it's interesting that they're finally diving into. It's like, it's, they've been kind of building this up in the background silently. It's like, oh yeah, we've been getting all these big former developers on our crew. Like,
did you like The Last of Us? Well, you're going to like The First of Us, Caveman Simulator.
They already have that coming out. It's the Monkey Simulator.
Yeah.
I hate being right.
And I think also what kind of put me away from that was how big the guy was talking it up, and there was nothing to really show outside of Monkey Simulator.
Yeah.
It's like, it's going to be this great, expansive thing where you go through generations of human ancestors. Let's watch that trailer. Monkeys. You play as
you're
monkeys.
Running. You're running
well,
away.
I can't wait until like the final DLC comes out where you like wake up, have to grab all of your inventory, and then you just go to your 9-to-5 job and just sit there at a cubicle.
Just like
an epic battle. I thought you were about to make it a battle royale because you said wake up, grab all your gear.
No, you wake up, you equip your pants, your keys in your wallet and your phone, you get into your vehicle.
We have this. It's called Job Simulator.
Yeah.
It's like this epic battle, like a Cro-Magnon and a Neanderthal, and then like it just snaps and you wake up at a KFC and you're like, drop the fry basket.
You wake up at a KFC. You look down, you take the toilet paper, you start wiping.
It's too detailed.
You don't remember eating corn that day.
No.
Time, your wipes perfectly. Excellent. Great. Yeah. That's a clean one. You're good. Now flush. Wash your hands. Don't forget the soap. Soap. Wash.
You didn't scrub Halo long enough. Halo can even take me away from Siege at this point. Like, I love Reach's multiplayer.
What if they're announced tomorrow, infinite drops in a week?
Oh, God. I would play campaign, and then I would play multiplayer Siege. Like,
what game would get you away from Siege?
I don't know.
Final Fantasy VII Remake?
But see, like, the reason why I play Siege is because I play with Zach, and Zach and I really, for a while, we didn't play games together, because he became PC Master Race. Still I play with Brandon.
He became, or...
Still is.
Yeah, it's not a past thing. It's a present.
Like, Zach can play Siege by himself on his PC. I'm never going to go that far to own it in two different ways. Maybe PS4, Smurf account.
Really?
Get Legion going.
Really?
I thought at some point...
Why would you betray me like this?
So when Brandon's like, yeah, my brother's playing on PC, I'm playing a little on PC. I'm like, are we going to swap over to PC? Is that going to be the new thing?
Do it, you cowards. Zach, my PC's like... half a decade old. It's not going to run Siege.
Get all low, probably. What? You'd be surprised for a 4-year-old game.
What's that pixel? Is that an ash? Can't tell.
I actually turned my brightness up on my game just so I could see everything better. Like, you're playing Oregon and you're in the dark tunnel, but you can see things clear as day. I'm like, yeah. Gamma settings, bitch.
I don't have that problem.
Yeah, but it's just like, you know, why not? It's like when you bump your gamma settings to 100 in Minecraft and you don't have to put torches down in the caves.
But then you go outside and you're like,
Everything's so green. Okay.
Speaking of Halo being green and taking us away from Siege.
Gearbox is teasing announcements for PAX. It's
happening.
Remember what Gearbox was.
Borderlands 3.
So the first image, they teased a few images. One of them makes me think that they're going to re-release Borderlands 2 somewhere else.
Jesus Christ, no.
Because they showed like a pixelated image of, can't remember the siren's name from 2.
Lilith.
No, Lilith was 1.
What is the siren's name in 2?
It's Balthazar.
No, it's not Balthazar.
Baphomet.
No.
Grindelwald eating Dumbledore's ass.
No.
Borderlands 2 siren. Maya.
I'm going to put it out here. I've only played like an hour of the pre-sequel. So I'm just going to be out of this conversation.
I need to play Borderlands 2.
Borderlands 2 is the greatest.
But they tease a pixelated image of Maya standing in front of the Marcus Shrine on the dam in 2. And they tease another image of whatever other game they're working on. But then their first teaser image was a cel-shaded road sign.
Very much in the Borderlands.
That said March 23rd on it. And then in the top right corner, kind of cut off, it says Exit 3. Don't fucking tease me, Gearbox.
I swear to God, if they like say, yeah, we'll tease it at E3, I'm like, fuck you! Like,
I will fucking cut you. I have waited long enough. I've done my time. I've bought Borderlands 2, all the DLC, and then I bought it again on Xbox One in the Handsome Collection. I've done my waiting.
Yeah.
You give me an announcement for 3.
Okay. Zach moved up to the mic as if he were going to say something, and then he's just now. But yeah, I'm going to be very interested of what Borderlands 3 looks like at this point, because we're in a post-Destiny, post-Division, post-Anthem, like post all these looter shooters games as a service model, where Borderlands was like the OG of that style of like, that was their marketing thing of like, look at all these guns you can get.
Oh yeah, bajillion
guns. Do you think they're going to create a game where it's multiplayer, but it's instant, so there's only 10 people in the server at all times, but there's no NPCs. The only NPCs are the other characters. And then, 6 months after release, there's one person playing the game. Borderlands 76.
You can only hope that nobody is Fallout 76 levels.
I don't.
That one guy must be so happy.
Finally gets a single player experience.
Well, he's probably happy until it's like, yeah, here's a dungeon that you need 3 people to play, or here's the world boss. Like, well,
shit,
bye. But I don't think Borderlands 3 is going to change their formula. I think they're going to keep it a story-based thing with drop-in, drop-out co-op, have their bajillion guns, have ridiculous stupidity that's amazing.
Do you think they're going to take the characters, like, obviously Claptrap's going to come back, but, like, with the success of, like, Tales from the Borderlands and there will never be a second Tales game, import those characters into side stories?
I would hope so. That'd be really cool.
Just because of the way the game, not even season one, the game, rest in peace.
R.I.P.
ended. They could very well set it up as, like, that could be a side story of them just coming back in.
Yeah, you run into Fiona and Reese and they need your help.
Or, yeah, like you do this whole quest line and then the end result is Fiona and Reese coming back from wherever they got teleported to.
Yeah.
Or they develop the canon definitive end or canon of that game. Like how Wolf Among Us has their story, but here's the canon progression.
Look, what they really need to bring in, if they're canon, is they made a fucking Megazord at the end.
Yeah.
Make that canon.
They made it a straight up Power Rangers scene.
Like, you hire people to come into the final battle with you, and you have a robot companion who then, in their final form, becomes a giant robot that the 5 of you have to control. Like, one person you hired controls their arm, kind of like Voltron style. And it was amazing. And if they bring that, like, even just, like, have it in the background of, yeah, there was a giant battle fought here, and there's a giant robot standing there, like,
yes. Giant footprint.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very excited. I'm very curious to see what they actually show. Because I miss Borderlands.
I actually fired up Borderlands 2 the other day, played for a little bit.
What?
Still achievements I need to get.
I think I own it.
I think you own it because Zach owns it.
That's actually one of the games I have on disc.
Handsome Collection?
Yeah.
Mm. I think I might have bought it in college on sale. I don't remember.
Maybe. If you did, we should play.
I definitely know that I still have Diablo sitting in my disc drive. No, Siege is in my disc drive. Even though Zach owns Siege Digital.
Well, because he got you the disc and then he bought it on digital.
Yeah, because I kept telling him, I was like, hey, you're going to have fun.
Maybe one day we'll revive the adventures of Tiffany and Balthazar.
One day.
Maybe.
It'll never happen. It's the Adventures of Legion.
Legion and Twitch.
Yep. Legion, sometimes Kafkin Alibi with Steve around. Cav.
I've never seen you play Kafkin or Alibi.
No, I'm saying that you are Kafkin Alibi.
Right.
I haven't played Kafkin
in a while. Right, you haven't played Kafkin in forever.
And then I thought about playing Alibi, then you're like, oh, I'm going to play Alibi. Oh, there's the one time I was like, I'm going to be gridlocked, die in 30 seconds. Well, that was a fun adventure. Back to Legion. And then we had to watch.
Oh my God, that was painful.
We had to watch a Twitch play. And they were using Twitch's marksman rifle. And it was so bad.
They were just hip firing.
And I'm like, I'm guilty of hip firing, like, Dokkabis. But that's like
every now and again, you have to.
But, yeah, and like I've seen plenty of people who are like, they just hip fire always. Like, bro, you could have easily got that kill if you were aiming down your sight.
And I'm just sitting there. I'm like, all right, well, I'm never playing gridlock again because we need Twitch.
Yeah, or you can play gridlock like Brandon and aim down the sight, hold the trigger, walk into a room. Hey, I got him. Just because kill.
All right. Cool. Critical Role comic book coming back this summer.
Woo-hoo. With
more origins of Vox Machina.
And okay, Zach's walking away, so I'll take it up. Dark Horse Comics and Critical Role are proud to announce three new projects set to release in 2019 based on the epic tales from the world of Exandria. These new comics, art books, and more will explore this universe in new and original ways. The most popular digital tabletop game in the world, Critical Role, is live streamed every week and set in Exandria. Blah 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 blah. Yeah, and it talks about the cast. On July 10th, 2018, Dark Horse and Critical Role release Critical Role Vox Machina Origins Series 2, number 1, which finds the unlikely heroes of Vox Machina back in the action-packed, yet absurdly entertaining series. This issue series will be available through Dark Horse Digital and the retail stores and continues to follow the origin stories of engaging characters. Material hinted at, but not fully disclosed in the live stream. Award-nominated writer Jody Hauser, Orphan Black, Stranger Things, and the first series artist Olivia Sampson with colors.
Nom de plume.
Might Messiah. So Isola and Gotham Academy and Litterer, Ariana Meyer, James Bond, and Xena comes Critical Role Vox Machina Origins Series 2. And then the first cover issue is by artist Fiona Staples.
I might buy that just for Fiona Staples.
Yeah, they're doing a physical on this one too, which is cool.
John. With the individuals.
But yeah.
That's, I need all of them in all the variants, please.
Critical Role is just expanding their D&D domination into all sorts of media. Because they got the animated series they just kickstarted.
They need $20,000 more to get $7.5 million. Two more episodes of Briarwood.
So they're not expanding their lore through Twitter, though, right?
No. They're making their lore known. Like, especially with their live show, their latest live show of Search for Grog. It's like one of the last things that happened in the first campaign where Grog picks, like, he has, like, this deck of cards.
He has a deck of many things.
Yeah, and just sucks him away into a portal. It's like, it was, like, near the end of, like, a five-hour live stream that this happened, right, Steve?
No, this was the last episode after the battle.
Yeah.
So but it was still like while everyone's doing their rap thing, like, what does everyone do to end their story of like, oh, I did this, I did this. And I draw a card. Cool, it's the void card. Your soul is transported to Pandemonium. It's like, I'm sorry, what? And then, like, well, for the brevity of time, they go and rescue your soul.
And then they turn that into the live show. This is what they actually did.
And it was so. And that's leading to another one shot thanks to the Kickstarter. Search for Bob. Fucking Bob.
But yeah, it's cool. The comics are really good. Like, I read the first series and it's great.
Speaking of adaptation stuff, the Rat Queens D&D thing on Hyper RPG is like on episode 4 now.
Oh, really? It already started? Shit.
And then,
we confirm that it's like it's the characters role playing? Or are they role-playing the characters?
So the actors are role-playing the characters in a canon story.
Okay.
So just like how Power Rangers Hyperforce were actors playing these characters inside of a specific timeline of Power Rangers. So this is a continuation of the comic.
Gotcha.
But the Life is Strange comic is actually now an ongoing series, not just limited anymore. So I think John told me I had to wait till like April or May to get the first two issues because their Titan is a really small printing company. Yeah. So they're doing a second print now and I'm just sitting there waiting with, and it's like, because this Life is Strange comic is the definitive continuation of the original game.
Which, didn't they confirm that the canon ending is...
It's Bay.
It's Bay.
It's Bay over Bay.
Driving away. It's like, ha! Yep. Fuck you!
And I read...
Cool. Neat. Thanks for that.
What?
I chose the original, the big Bay.
I think it's just yeah. Everybody was convinced that was the canon ending, so this was like a giant twist of like, what?
Well, now in the comic, I read like a synopsis of issues 1 and 2, and now I'm reading the comic. Max is just falling through different timelines.
Whoa.
Like, she's just trippy. Like walking timeline. Oof. Divergence. And then she, God, in this last issue.
She has it worse than Okabe.
Yeah, actually, this is very close to Steins Gate. In the latest issue is that she's talking to Chloe, and Chloe's like, I don't even know if I'm your Chloe. Like, I don't know what timeline. Or Max is like, I don't even know what timeline I'm from. I don't know if this is my timeline or you're something else. I don't even know if I'm the real Max. But there's one thing I do know, and they kiss. And it's like, fuck yes! And then there's another timeline divergence, and now Max is on the beach with Chloe and Rachel. And I'm just like, oh shit. Rachel and Max are going to meet.
Love triangle.
Yep. Really hyped.
Orgy. Orgy.
If. No, I'm not going to keep going the whole in the forest thing. I think I've run that joke in the ground.
Yeah. A little bit.
If three lesbians have sex on a beach.
And you're a comic reader looking at it.
But then the timeline diverges. Did it actually happen?
Yes. Or am I reading Sunstone now?
Am I reading Swing? What?
No, you're too reading, far. You're watching porn probably at this point.
Uh-oh. It's not April yet, right? We have like 2 more months or 2 more weeks.
It's still March. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's March 17th.
Sayek was talking about on Twister. It's close. Twitter. Twister. Yeah, he was just
playing right Twister. Red.
It was weird. But he was talking about on left-hand Twitter how he has to figure out a way to top First Stone because that was his greatest April Fool's prank ever. And now he's just like, I don't know what to do. I should just cancel Sunstone at this point. Like, no.
Don't you do that to us.
Yeah. Continuing on, there's also some Zack-related news.
Yeah, so speaking of Titan, actually, we got the first look at the Blade Runner 2019 comic that's coming from Titan. It's going to be written by Michael Green and Mike Johnson with illustrations by Andres Guinado. I think I said that right. Blade Runner 2019 will follow a Blade Runner named Ash through the city of Los Angeles, where the original movie was set. The first issue's cover, illustrated by Stanley Artjerm Lau, depicts Ash wielding her gun as she faces off with what looks to be Rachel, the experimental Nexus 7 replicant, who goes on to play a significant role in the franchise's future. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to dive back into more Blade Runner, one of the OGs of cyberpunk.
And hey, you are more the OG cyberpunk.
And more art term is always great.
Did you see Tim's meme that he posted earlier? I'm trying to find it. Convincing your girlfriend she's crazy or paranoid is called gaslighting. It's a dick move. But convincing her that she's a robot with artificially implanted human emotions, it's called Blade Running. It's a Philip K. dick move.
Beautiful.
Blade Runner is definitely one of those things that I really do want to get into eventually, like just finding time, because I love what's the other thing on Netflix? You watched the first episode with me.
Altered Carbon.
Yeah, I love Altered Carbon, which is also like that whole cyberpunk aesthetic. And I just need, like, there's so many divisive opinions on, like, here's how you watch Blade Runner, because there's like 3 different versions of the film that's out.
Yeah, I forget what the original like orders off the top of my head. There's like one that you just don't watch. I think it's like director's cut's one of the good ones. Original, of course. Blade Runner watch. I can't remember.
Nothing makes you feel more insecure than finding a fucking wasp inside your house.
There's also three short films that they did. Blade Runner Blackout 2022, which was an animated short by the director of Cowboy Bebop, which was freaking awesome. Didn't really add too much to the overall story, but it was cool.
Well, I mean, there's enough that's going on in that world that you can tell your own side stories without really worrying about.
Yeah, there's also two other short films. You got 2036 Nexus Dawn and 2048 Nowhere to Run. Just tell me the original ones. I can't remember.
Ooh, see if I have a Watch Mojo video to show you. Speaking of Blade Runner.
There you go. Which version? That's what I care about. So you got the original theatrical cut, which has voiceover, director's cut, which is the second recommended one. Then final cut, which is the true director's cut. So yeah, there are three different versions.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
But I'll get there eventually.
It's good. It's one of those like quintessential pieces of sci-fi from the 80s that, yeah, it's become like a cult classic thing, but
mm-hmm.
like if you want, like, especially with like how popular cyberpunk's becoming more and more.
Do you think Cyberpunk 2077 is actually just going to rebrand right the week before release? Like, you're playing the game and then after the credit comes up, instead of Cyberpunk 2077, it fades out and it's called Blade Runner 2077.
That'd be one hell of a twist, because it's based off a tabletop RPG.
And boom, Harrison Ford.
And then, like, you play and play and play and play, and then there's another cut to a title screen, Kingdom Hearts 3.1.
That'd be even a
giant, I would question twist. Reality as a
yeah,
whole.
Yeah, I'd be like, what is happening?
Like, you
now?
Stop, you lose all control of your character, and then Sora just walks through the door, hyper-realistic in the Unreal Engine again.
That's too much.
They've already set up Kingdom Hearts 4. Sora's going to be in the role that ends with you, and Riku's going to be in not Final Fantasy 15.
What?
Yeah, no, the secret ending was Sora and Riku both wake up. My thought is Sora is in Shibuya during the world ends with you, and then Riku wakes up, and then it pans up on top of a building, and it's the character from Verum Rex, which is the game Nomura made the trailer for.
Oh, it's
in the
that.
Toy Story world. And Riku wakes up in that world.
What the fuck? All right, so by the time Kingdom Hearts 4 comes out, it's going to be like an hour-long video about, like, here's the story of Kingdom Hearts. Hey, you remember this protagonist? You probably don't, because he's from the mobile game. And what's his name, Steve?
I know I texted it to you because I told him to respect him.
I know you did.
Because he is amazing.
But then when you're playing the moment, Steve just goes, holy shit, it's the mobile game guy.
Well, yeah, because if I said his name, you're like, oh, I got who?
Yeah.
Anyways. I think that's it.
Yeah. If we're talking about recommendations, I highly recommend people go pick up Doomsday Clock issue 9. Everything is really starting to coalesce and come together. All of our DC heroes finally have made a face-to-face confrontation with Dr. Manhattan, and Guy Gardner punches him in the face.
Bold move.
Yeah.
Very Guy Gardner.
Very Guy. Yeah, I can't wait to see what issue 10 brings in like 2 or 3 months. It's terrible to say.
We joke, but it's the reality of it.
Yeah, and it's... I was telling Steve, I'm like, it's hard to remember if I read issue 8... just because
I've honestly just been waiting for it all to come out at this point.
Yeah, and I feel like it's just so grim and dark, and I'm just like, man, I'm gonna go read some Young Justice to wash this out of my mouth. And then, you know, Bart Allen's like, oh my god, Connor, you have a beard.
His name is Ephemer, by the way.
Okay. Yeah, Bendis's Young Justice is amazing. Doomsday Clock issue 9 was pretty good. Also, all of Cover is out right now, all 6 issues. It's about a comic book creator reluctantly becoming a spy for the U.S. government, trying to steal trade secrets at comic book shows, meeting with other like world leaders and everything. It's amazing.
So reverse Tom King.
Yeah, or maybe you never know.
You hear that? Yeah.
And so that story just finished. It's Brian Michael Bendis with David Mac, who was one of the artists on OG Jessica Jones, he's very active on Twitter. Like, I tweeted out, I'm like, man, I braved the second day of the Colorado blizzard to go get my comic books. And, you know, cover was absolutely amazing. And he liked, retweeted, and replied to me. I'm like, the senpai. So, yeah.
Nice.
It was pretty cool. You guys have anything?
Movie Triple Frontier on Netflix. It stars Ben Affleck, Pedro Pascal, Oscar Isaac, Charlie Hunnam, and a fifth guy who I'm not sure who he is. But it's about Spec Ops members getting back together after most of them have retired and taking down a drug lord in Peru, I think? Maybe. Somewhere in South America. And also stealing his money and blaming it on a rival gang. But it's a good movie. Very emotional Spec Ops. Awesome. I told Zach it pissed me off a little bit because I just turned off Siege because I was getting pissed at it. And I'm watching these guys do Spec Ops moves with these guns like, pap, 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 pap. All right, I got two in the corridor. I'm like, fucking sucked at Siege today. Fuck you, Ben Affleck. And you too, Viper.
Okay. Sorry, I just saw a thing. People are playing a Division 2 right now, and someone noticed that you can put an ACOG site on the MP7, and then it's like Ubisoft is just opening old wounds. Bandit tears.
Bandit and Jaeger.
Jaeger didn't have an MP7, though.
Well, they both had ACOGs and were able to power rush before they nerfed speed and took their ACOGs away.
Thank God. Bandit's still an expert peeker.
Still not as bad as Ella, though, that apparently went through 3 nerfs.
Oh, yeah. There was within 6 months of domination by Ella.
Yeah.
Where her gun was unstoppable.
Well, her gun, her movement, everything was just so broken.
And that's when she became the Bay.
Then they nerfed her. And they nerfed her again.
Very hard. It's very hard to play
her. And they nerfed her again.
It's very hard to play her with her gun.
And then you just look over at Blackbeard and smile fondly as he's putting his rope around his neck again.
He used to have 600 health on his shield. Now you're putting a piece of paper in there. It's got 60 health now.
You remember that one game I played Blackbeard? Never lost my shield, but I had 1 health.
They shot around it.
They hit me everywhere else.
Like, oh no, he's got a shield on his gun. Feed, 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 feed.
Yeah.
It's my strategy is just always like, all right, I'm just going to shoot it real with a very high fire rate gun. Just destroy the thing.
Or Siege is great.
Got like Maverick, and you're like, all right, 150 cap, shield's gone.
Always go back to Siege.
Because it's the best game.
Because it's the only game you play, therefore we won't have a conversation about a game.
I know.
Well, I'm glad I didn't buy Anthem. Like, even you today was like, yeah, it's just kind of a wet blanket.
I didn't say it was a wet blanket. I just said it didn't really grab me, and I'm probably going to go back when they add more stuff.
Wet blanket.
That's not a wet blanket.
It can be.
If you piss on anything enough, it can become a wet blanket.
So if Dumbledore pissed on Grindelwald. Thank you guys for listening to a brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast. As always, you can hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, or you can send us questions via
z2podcast.com/comment.
And I think we had a Facebook message this week. I didn't look at it.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was promoting something. Someone's comic. Something about a wolf.
Do-do-do-do-do.
Facebook message.
Do-do-do-do. This person was promoting a comic on Webtoons, and we'll talk about it later. The Wolf in Me. Go check it out. You can also leave us a review on iTunes, Google Play, Google Podcasts, or any other major podcasting service around the world, or even a flat world, square world.
No,
we don't know what you believe
in. We're not encouraging that.
So if Dumbledore and Grindelwald go off the edge of the earth,
whose dick lands in who?
While they're floating through the vacuum of space.
But
or do they crash into the wall of the government
building? Like gentle jousting at this point?
God. So you can leave us a comment there, a review there, and make us pretty happy. Next week, we're doing a live show. We are going to be at Hall of Justice for Hellboy Day. Ooh, hell. And boys. Hellboys.
together, not separately.
No. I'm really excited about Lobster Johnson. I'm going to cosplay as him, just get lobster claws.
I don't think he actually has lobster claws.
Yes, he does.
Really? I've always been confused. Like, does he actually, is he actually a lobster? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. We'll be there. We'll have our guest mic so you can hop on and talk with us.
Probably have John talk about Hellboy when he's not too busy.
Have the artist that's there talk about Hellboy, and we're like, hey, we're Clueless.
We're here because we were asked to be here. We don't know anything about Hellboy.
Yeah.
Ron Perlman. And Guillermo del Toro.
Right. Yeah. Think cool. So.
Well, you guys have a great day. And love you, Internet.
Bye-bye.